Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, as we pick back up in the Gospel of Mark. Last week we looked at 1 Timothy, and we talked about what is a deacon, the role and qualifications of a deacon. And so this week we're going to pick up back where we left off in the Gospel of Mark 2 weeks ago. We were in Mark chapter 6. We looked at the death of John the Baptist. We look at how that through the death of John the Baptist, we see that the gospel gives us courage to stand, that it empowers us to be faithful in the midst of danger, and that it helps us endure into the end despite the real possibility of death. This morning in our text in Mark chapter 6, in verses 30 through 44, we're going to look at the heart of the shepherd. As we look at this text, we're going to see the heart of the shepherd, the heart of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so if you would, follow along with me as I read Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' For he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." Let us pray. Father, we're grateful that we can gather together as your people, that we can gather not only to sing your praises, to sing about the compassion that you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, but Father, that we can gather together to hear from your word. And so, Father, we pray that this morning you would confront us with your word, that, Father, you would confront us with your gospel, that through your Spirit you would continue to sanctify our hearts, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help us to hear eagerly, help us to hear openly your word, that we might respond to it today. It's in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 40, the chapter starts out in verses 1 through 2. It says this: "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Then in verse 11 it says this. It says, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." The one who will tend his flock like a shepherd is, of course, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and he is the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd." And in saying that in John chapter 10, he is pointing back to the Old Testament. He's pointing back to this prophecy in this verse where he says he is the one who will tend his sheep. He will gather his lambs. He will carry them in his arms. See, Jesus is the good shepherd who gives power to the faint and increases the strength of those who have no might. He is the good shepherd who provides comfort in the way of peace and pardon. He is the good shepherd who we encounter in our text here in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. If you look at this verse, it says, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd." They were like sheep without a shepherd. We see in verse 34 three truths that we need to keep in mind as we look at our passage today. First of all, we see that Jesus clearly sees our condition. That Jesus sees clearly our condition. We were like sheep without a shepherd. The second truth we see here is that Jesus has had compassion upon us. And it says he had compassion on them. And the third truth we see here is that Jesus has and is the cure for those who believe. It says, and he began to teach them many things. So let us look at our text this morning to see what it says about Jesus, what it says about our condition before God, and how Jesus meets the need of our predicament. First thing we see is we see that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, clearly sees our condition. That he clearly sees our condition. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, where this same episode is told in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew gives us a little more detail. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, the people here, Jesus saw the crowds, he saw the people as he stepped off the boat onto the shore, and he saw the great crowds that had run from where they left to the spot, to the desolate place where they were, that had run there, which must have been at least several miles from where they started. The boat must have traveled along the shore, and they followed that boat and ran to where they had stopped. And so he saw them, and he saw that they were sheep without a shepherd, that they were harassed and helpless. That they were harassed and helpless. Let me deal with this first part before I talk about how they were harassed and helpless. Let me talk first about how they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, Jesus here is using analogy, obviously, analogy that the Old Testament uses over and over to describe God as a shepherd, to describe the Lord as a shepherd that we saw in that we read in Psalm 23. And he's seeing the people that they were like sheep without a shepherd. It means they were without someone to lead and guide them. They were without someone to gather together and gather them together and to protect them. That they were without someone to watch over them and care for them. That there was no one who could lead them through the valleys of despair and anguish that life entails. They were without someone who could save them. And so because of this, because of their condition, they were harassed and they were helpless. Other translations from Matthew chapter 9 say it this way. Different translations say it this way. One says they were weary and scattered. Or they were distressed and dispirited. Or they were distressed and dejected. Or they fainted and were scattered abroad. Or that they were weary and worn out. I think you get the idea behind they were harassed and they were helpless. And so the question before us this morning is, what did Jesus see when he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, that they were harassed and helpless? You see, he saw people in their true condition, that they were sinners in need of a Savior, that they were slaves to sin in need of redemption, that they were rebels who were in need of a worthy king, and that they were sheep in need of a shepherd. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, describes their condition this way, describes, in fact, our condition before we met Christ. If we were Christians, this was our condition. This was us before we met Jesus Christ and made him our Lord and Savior. Did I do that? Okay. Before we met him as our Lord and Savior, it says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. we have turned everyone to his own way. You see, the people in the crowd along the shore and you and I today are in need of a shepherd, for the human condition has not changed. In 2,000 years, the human condition has not changed. We have decided to go our own way. We have decided to do what is right in our own eyes, that we have turned our back on the Creator of all things, who is just and holy, and we have turned every one of us to our own way. You see, we have lifted up our fist against God, and we rebelled against him just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You see, we have murdered people in our heart just as Cain did right before he actually murdered his brother Abel physically in the field. We have revelled in self-seeking pleasure as Sodom and Gomorrah did before God destroyed them for their wickedness and their sin. We have run after other gods just as the Israelites did when after God led them out of Egypt. After they saw the power of God, the presence of God in a cloud by day and the presence of God as fire at night, and they took him out into Sinai, and Moses went up to the mountain, and he wasn't gone very long, and they made a calf to worship. A golden calf. Like them, we have run after other gods. We have ignored the commands of God just as King Saul did when he took it upon himself to decide what was right and just in the eyes of God. Or we have wandered from the steadfast love of God as David did when he committed murder and adultery and then lied about it. You see, we, each in our own way, have turned away. If we don't know Christ, even before Christ, this was us. We had turned away from from God, and we had turned to sin and allowed sin to enslave us, harass us, and make us helpless. We were dead in our sins and our transgressions. We followed the power of the prince of this air. We walked in disobedience. Maybe I ought to stand still. Living in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were sheep without a shepherd. And because we were like sheep without a shepherd, we were harassed and we were helpless. We were like children tossed to and fro by the waves of the sea. We were battered about by human wisdom, by human cunning, and human craftiness and deceitful schemes. This was the crowd that Jesus saw when he came ashore. They were spiritually hungry. But their only teachers, unfortunately, were the Pharisees, who taught them the traditions of men and not the traditions of God, who shut out the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, and neither would they themselves enter it, nor would they allow anyone else to enter in. Yes, you see, the truth of their condition and the truth of our condition is that we were like sheep without a shepherd. We had gone astray, each to our own way. You see, the further truth is that often people here, not only do we go our own way, but often people are led by bad spiritual teachers or false teachers who teach the traditions of men instead of the words of God, who teach a false gospel and who, by their teaching, undermine the word of God, leading people astray, leading people away from God. They teach people that in our society today, they teach people that you're okay and I'm okay. They teach us that we are basically good in our hearts, that we're not sinners in need of repentance, that we're not lost sheep in need of a shepherd, that we're not in need of a savior. We don't need to be redeemed. Or they teach that we don't need to repent or seek forgiveness for God, if we just are good people and we just have faith, that we can have faith without forgiveness or repentance. Or they teach that salvation is by works and not by faith. There's one faulty teaching after another leading people astray. But the good news is that Jesus, our good shepherd, has seen our condition and he has compassion on us. That's the second thing that we encounter in our text here. We encounter a good shepherd who has compassion on us. He saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them because they were harassed, they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on us because that was our condition before we met Jesus Christ. The good shepherd had compassion on us. This is the heart of Jesus Christ. This is the heart of our Good Shepherd, which is the heart of the gospel. He had compassion. He showed mercy and love to those who are lost. This is the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In fact, the word here, the Greek word that is used here for compassion, is used to describe only Jesus in all of the New Testament. This word only describes our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, when it says that he had compassion on them. It means that he had a compassion that was not like human compassion. He had mercy and love that was not like human mercy and love. He had a compassion upon them. You see, he saw their condition, and he did something about it. You see, often our compassion is we see people's condition, and we say, peace, be warm and filled, and we go our way, don't we? But Jesus saw their condition. He had compassion on them, and he did something about it. What did he do? Look back at verse 35 in your text. I'm sorry, in verse 34, at the end of verse 34. And he began to teach them many things. What are some of the many things that Jesus taught them? He taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them about the need to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He taught them about himself. Here's the thing that let us not miss this. Let us not miss what Jesus Christ did here. When he saw the crowd, when he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, that they were in real trouble, that they were lost, separated, alienated, enslaved, dead, foolish, full of malice and envy and hating others and being hated by one another. What did he do? He didn't feed them. He didn't improve their environment. He didn't lead the church in social justice movement. He taught them many things. He taught them about the kingdom of God. He gave them the gospel. He taught them the gospel. He taught them about himself. You see, the real problem was not that they were hungry and thirsty because they had just run many miles to hear him teach them. That was not the problem, their worst problem. They had a moral problem. They had a spiritual problem. They were alienated from a just and holy God, and he saw their condition. He had compassion on them, and so that the first thing he did was he proclaimed the gospel of God, the kingdom of heaven to them, and said, repent, and he told them about himself. And he did that because, you see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and it calls those things that are dead to life and calls into existence those things that do not exist. The gospel is the most powerful thing that we can do for people. You see, this is why the proclamation of the gospel of going and making disciples of all nations is the primary mission of the church, that we are to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's what Christ commanded at the end of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28. The mission of the church is not social justice. It's not improving an environment. It's not feeding the poor or clothing the poor. Now, don't hear me to say that those things are important and churches shouldn't do those. Those things are important. They flow out of the gospel. If we love God, we're going to love our neighbor, and we're going to take care of our neighbor, and we're going to do those things. But they're not the gospel, and the gospel is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the balm for the human condition. You see, we can feed people every day, but they're still going to die in their sins if they don't know Jesus Christ. And so we must first give them the gospel before we give them anything else. They must receive the gospel, believe the gospel, and we must share the gospel. That's our greatest need, and that's people's greatest need everywhere, all around the world. But having said that, that doesn't relieve us of showing compassion for people. You see, Jesus didn't just teach the people. He did do that. But he also fed them. Look at our text starting in verse 35. Here we see that Jesus fed them, that he had a miracle here, that with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he fed 5,000 men. But not just 5,000 men, that's all they counted. They didn't count the women and children. And so really he fed more than 5,000 people. depending on how many women and children showed up there, that he did this miracle. And so we see here that Jesus is just not concerned to teach them the gospel. That's the first thing he gave them, the most important thing. But he also showed compassion on them by feeding them. The disciples come to him. He'd been teaching all day. That shows you how important it is. And so for the rest of the time, whatever time they got there during the day, he preached for a long time about the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples come to him. And it says, when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go in the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And so here we see that it was important that Jesus spend a lot of time teaching them about the kingdom of heaven, calling them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he was also concerned. He showed compassion on them by meeting their physical needs. You see, Jesus, this leads to the third point, that Jesus, our good shepherd, is the cure and the comfort for those who believe. He not only cured our spiritual condition, but he gives us comfort in this life through his people. And so here we see the fact that Jesus is a good shepherd, that here we find four or five reasons why Jesus is a good shepherd. First, Jesus is a good shepherd because as the good shepherd, he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. This truth is brought out in that text I just read there, in this miracle that we see that Mark doesn't just come out and say, "Hey, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God," but the fact that the miracle, what happened, that 5 loaves and 2 fish were enough to feed 5,000 men and women and children, and they took up 12 basketfuls left over afterwards, so that it was a miracle. You see, some people want to say that Jesus didn't perform a miracle here. But Mark tells this story to point to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. In fact, that's the whole purpose why Mark writes his gospel. In verse 1 of chapter 1, that's what he says concerning Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so he uses this miracle to point to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He doesn't directly allude to that, but the miracle is a sign. That's what miracles served as a sign of who Jesus was. And you see, about this miracle, where did it happen? It happened in the desolate place. That Mark is alluding, in telling the story, it alludes back to the Israelites in the desert. Where did God give the Israelites bread from heaven? In a desolate place. And so he's alluding back to what God did for the Israelites in the wilderness, giving them the manna from heaven, in the same way Jesus, who is the Son of God, has provided bread for his people. And so just as the Israelites were in the wilderness when they received that bread, the crowd also was in a desolate place. And so we're seeing this miracle that Mark is validating that Jesus was more than just a man, that he was more than just a great teacher, that he was more than just a healer of those who were sick, but he was the Messiah, the Son of God. He was one who took 2 fish and 5 loaves, and he fed 5,000 men, women, and children. Now, Mark doesn't allude to this, but if you turn to John and you read the same story in chapter 6 of John, he says, Jesus follows it with, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." You see, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the bread of life, which leads me to the next point. He is the cure and comfort for those who believe, because as the good shepherd, He laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. And in laying down his life for the sheep, he gave life to them. Back to verse 34, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. They were sheep without a shepherd. You see, the whole thrust of that verse that Mark shares with us here is that Jesus, upon seeing the people, saw that they were harassed and helpless. They were sheep without a shepherd, and that he was going to do something about it because he is the good shepherd that was prophesied in the Old Testament, who has come and who is going to lay down his life for his sheep. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, the passage that Isaac read, Jesus says there, first of all, he says, I am the sheep door. The sheep door was the door between the rock wall or the hedgerow or whatever it might have been for the sheep to go into the pasture, go out to the pasture, and then come back at night to where they would be safe and secure. And Jesus says, I am that sheep door. And anyone who enters in it will be saved, because he has laid down his life for the sheep, that Jesus saves any who will enter in through that gate, through that door. In Matthew, what does he say? He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, right? But narrow is the way and the gate that leads to eternal life, and they who enter it shall be saved. He says, I am the door. Anyone who enters will be saved. He says, I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, he's not only the cure for our spiritual condition, but he's our comfort, and he gives us life, and he gives it to us more abundantly. You see, when you become a Christian, your circumstances may not change, but your life is qualitatively different, isn't it? That even in the midst of your circumstances, you can now know joy, you can now know peace, because you have been pardoned by the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus says there. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And what he says at the end of that, he says, I have the authority to take it up and lay it down. No one else. I have been given that authority. What he's saying there is the Jews, the religious leaders, didn't kill me. I voluntarily went to the cross for you. I laid my life down for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, who's the Son of God, who's the cure and comfort for our condition, for our sin and separation. Listen again to Isaiah chapter 53 with me. This time I will finish the verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each we have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, good news, friends. What good news. That if you're not here today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know that God has laid on him your iniquity, your sin, your rebellion, your disobedience, your turning away, that you can turn back and know that you can find forgiveness, and you can find peace, and you can find pardon, that you can find comfort in the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Next, we see that Jesus is a good shepherd because he provides sustenance. He provides sustenance for his sheep. How does he do this? He does it through the preaching and teaching of his word. You want to be fed by the shepherd? You want to know the food of God? It's the word of God. That's what he says in John chapter 6. I'm the bread of life. And he says there that he who does his word, that's where you get sustenance. You get sustenance from God's word. And so, dear ones, feed on God's word. Feed on the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Go to his word and see who he is. Go and discover his heart of compassion, that he cares for you, that he provides comfort you, and he sustains you in the midst of your trials and sufferings and griefs that you have. That when you're harassed and when you're helpless, you can go to the good shepherd, who is the bread of life, who has given his life for you. He will sustain you through his spirit and through his word. But not only that, he's the good shepherd because he involves us in his work of caring for the sheep. You see, the good shepherd has under-shepherds. He has under-shepherds. Now, in the church, under-shepherds are pastors or elders. But even beyond that, the under-shepherds have under-shepherds. Though you're not under us, you're under Jesus Christ. and he involves us in his work. I go back to the text in verse 35 through 44. What did Jesus say? And when they came, the disciples came to him and said, hey, these guys are kind of, we should send them away so they can get some food. Because, you know, we can't feed them. It would take 8 months of wages to feed these people. And, of course, we don't have that kind of money. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, you give them something to eat. And they're like, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. That ain't going to go anywhere. But you see, Jesus involves us in his work. He involves us in his caring for the sheep. He involves us in doing his work in this world. We are his hands, we are his feet, and he has called us to follow him. He has ordained that he would work through human agents, and that he would provide what is needed supernaturally, like he did in this miracle, and so that we as his people can help him, and as we help him, we see him do this, that out of a little, he makes a lot. See, that's what happens when we follow the Good Shepherd, that out of a little, he makes a lot. And by doing that, he provides comfort for his people. But finally, Jesus is a good shepherd because he commissions us to go and find lost sheep. To go and find lost sheep. That was the heart of the shepherd. Jesus told that parable, right? Where when you leave the 99 and you go find the one. And that's what he's commissioned us to do. He's commissioned us. You see, we're the 99. We're gathered together in the flock. And he's told us to go find the one lost sheep. He's commissioned us to go and share the gospel, to proclaim the good news, so that those who are harassed and helpless might also come under the care and the protection and find life in the Good Shepherd. That we're to go and find lost sheep. He's commissioned us as his representatives on this earth to leave, to gather together as a flock, but then to go and find those who are lost. That's what Jesus says. He says, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. And the wonderful thing is that he allows us to be a part of that. We were talking about that in our Sunday school class today, Martha and Royce and I, and how I had, when I was in Iraq, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with a soldier, but I didn't even have to go and seek the lost. God brought them to me through a Mormon chaplain. This Mormon chaplain, carrying the soldier by the hand, comes up to me and says, hey, Chaplain King, I have this soldier here and he wants to become a Christian. And so I didn't even have to go. God brought that sheep to me through a Mormon, of all people, that he might be saved. You see, God cares about his people. He has compassion upon them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Listen to what King David says about the Good Shepherd from Psalm 23. This is where I'm going to end, and I want us to remind us with the words that we started with at the beginning of our service. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I'm going to stop here for a moment. I have a friend that many of you know who a year ago was in despair. He was harassed and helpless. He was a sheep without a shepherd. And I was riding in a car with him yesterday. And he said, Darren, I have so much joy, so much gladness in Jesus Christ, that even if tomorrow they took my job away, it wouldn't bother me. And just 4 months ago, that was not his position or attitude. You see, when Christ is your shepherd, your cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful. Joy is overflowing my heart for what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Father, truly, we were lost, wandering our own way, thinking that we had more wisdom than you did, thinking that we could save ourselves, thinking that we didn't need to hear you or listen to you or follow your word. Father, we were walking on the path of wickedness. We were following the desires of our own heart. We were shaking our fist at you, and yet, Father, in your love and mercy, while we were yet sinners, you sent the Good Shepherd to us to lay down his life for his sheep. And so, Father, we just overflow with joy. We just overflow with thankfulness. And Father, it's our desire to see lost sheep found. It's our desire to see those who are harassed and helpless to have their distress taken away through them, through the peace and the pardon that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we praise you this morning. We just give you thanks for all that you've done and all that you're going to do here at North Stafford Baptist Church. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to celebrate.